Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, October 1st. Today we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a heartwarming story that's been making waves. Folks, let's dive right in. Today we're discussing a story that's touched hearts across the nation. A terminally ill single mother's GoFundMe campaign has raised over $1 million. Let's dive into the details. Eric, can you tell us about Erica Carr and her situation?
Absolutely, Ted. Erica Carr is a 30-year-old single mom from Ogden, Utah, with two young kiddos. She's been fighting for her life since May 2022, when she got hit with a brutal diagnosis, stage 4, small cell lung carcinoma. That's a mouthful, but basically, it's a rare and aggressive form of lung cancer. Poor Erica's been battling this beast for over 2 years now, and it's been one hell of a roller coaster ride for her and her little ones.
While that's true, Eric, you're missing a crucial part of Erica's story. Her condition took a nasty turn when she developed Cushing's syndrome.
I was getting to that, Kate. No need to interrupt. As I was saying, Erica's journey has been incredibly challenging, and her strength throughout this ordeal is
Eric,
truly...
please. The Cushing's syndrome is a key factor here. It's a hormonal disorder that's caused by sky-high levels of cortisol, often called the stress hormone. For Erica, this
Thank
meant...
you both for those details. Kate, can you explain why Erica started this GoFundMe campaign?
Of course, Ted. It's absolutely heartbreaking. Erica was told she only has 3 months left to live. Can you imagine being in her shoes? She started this GoFundMe hoping to raise just $5,000 to cover her own funeral expenses and leave a little something for her kids. It's gut-wrenching to think of a mother having to plan for her own death while worrying about her children's future. This campaign was her last-ditch effort to provide some security for her little ones.
While Kate's painted a somber picture, and rightly so, I think it's crucial to highlight Erica's incredible resilience throughout this ordeal. Despite her diagnosis, she managed to keep working full-time, only taking 2 months off for treatments and surgeries. This woman is the definition of a fighter, balancing her health battles with being a full-time mom and employee. It's this kind of determination that I believe has resonated with so many people and contributed to the campaign's success.
That's hardly the point, Eric. The fact is, she's now facing her final months and has to plan her own funeral while worrying about her children's future. Her work ethic, while
I have to disagree, Kate. Her work ethic and determination are crucial parts of this story. It shows the kind of person she is and why people have been so moved by her plight.
Let's talk about the children. Eric, what do we know about Erica's kids?
Well, Ted, Erica has two young children who are her whole world. There's Jeremiah, who's 7, and little Aaliyah, who's just 5. Erica describes them as her whole life, light, and soul. It's clear these kids mean everything to her, and they're what's been keeping her going through this brutal battle. You can just imagine how hard it must be for her, knowing she'll have to leave them so soon.
And that's precisely the heart of this tragedy, isn't it? These poor children are about to lose the most important person in their lives. Can you even begin to fathom the emotional toll this is taking on Erica and her kids? They're so young. Aaliyah might not even fully understand what's happening. And Jeremiah, at 7, is old enough to know but too young to really cope with it. It's just devastating all around.
You're right that it's an incredibly difficult situation, Kate, but let's not forget that Erica mentioned having an amazing support system. These children won't be alone when she's gone. There are people who love them and will be there for them. It's a small comfort, but an important one. Plus, with the success of this GoFundMe, they'll have financial support as well.
A support system doesn't replace a mother, Eric. These kids are about to lose the most important person in their lives. No amount of money or well-meaning friends and
family. Let's put this in a broader context. Can you think of any similar fundraising campaigns that have gone viral like this? Eric, any thoughts?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me of the Ice Bucket Challenge from 2014. Now, that was a phenomenon. It started as a campaign to raise awareness for ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. But it went absolutely viral and ended up raising over $115 million for the ALS Association. People were dumping ice water on their heads left and right, challenging their friends, and it just exploded across social media. It showed how a simple idea could capture people's imagination and lead to massive fundraising success.
That's hardly comparable, Eric. The Ice Bucket Challenge was a gimmick. This is a mother literally planning for her death.
The principle is the same, Kate. Both show the power of social media to mobilize people for a cause. In the ice bucket challenge, millions of people dumped ice water on their heads and challenged others to do the same or donate to ALS research.
But the ice bucket challenge was fun and games. Erica's situation is life and death. It's much more serious and personal. You can't compare a social media trend to a mother's desperate plea for her children's future. The emotional weight is entirely
interesting comparison. Kate, can you think of a more directly relatable precedent?
Yes, I can, Ted. Back in 2015, there was a heart-wrenching story about a single mother named Heather McManamy. She was dying from breast cancer and decided to write cards for her daughter's future milestones, things like graduations, weddings, and even the birth of her grandchildren. It was her way of being there for her daughter even after she was gone. Her story went viral, and people rallied to support her family. That's much more in line with Erica's situation. It's personal, it's about a mother's love, and it struck a chord with people in a deeply emotional way.
While that's undoubtedly a touching story, Kate, it didn't involve the same level of financial support we're seeing with Erica's campaign. We're talking about over $1 million here, which is unprecedented for an individual's GoFundMe. This goes beyond emotional support. It's about securing a financial future for these children. The scale of the response to Erica's story is what makes it truly remarkable.
The amount doesn't matter, Eric. What matters is the emotional impact and the way communities come together in times of crisis. It's about human connection and empathy.
I disagree. The amount absolutely matters. It's what will secure the future of Erica's children. This isn't just about feelings. It's about practical, long-term support.
Both examples are interesting. How do you think social media has changed the way we respond to personal tragedies?
Social media has completely revolutionized how we connect with and respond to personal tragedies, Ted. It's made these stories more immediate and personal. We're not just reading about a stranger's plight in the newspaper anymore. We're seeing their faces, hearing their voices, and feeling connected to their stories in real time. It's created a global community where we can instantly empathize with and support people we've never met. In Erica's case, it's allowed her story to reach millions, turning a local tragedy into a nationwide outpouring of support.
While I agree with Kate about the power of social media to connect us, I think it's important to note that it's also created a culture of viral fundraising that can be unpredictable and uneven. Not everyone in need gets this level of support. For every Erica Carr who raises $1 million, there are countless others with equally compelling stories who might only raise a fraction of that. It's fantastic when it works, but we can't rely on it as a system. It's more like winning the lottery than a dependable safety net.
Let's look to the future. How do you think this money will impact Erica's children's lives? Eric, what's your take?
With over 1 million, these children's financial future is incredibly secure, Ted. We're talking about a life-changing amount of money here. Just think about it. Their education could be fully funded, from elementary school right through to college or even graduate school if they choose. They could have a sizable nest egg for adulthood, maybe to start a business or buy a home. And most importantly, they'll never have to worry about basic needs like food, clothing, or healthcare. This money essentially removes a huge burden from their lives as they grow up.
That's an overly optimistic view, Eric. Money doesn't solve everything. These children are losing their mother. No amount of money can compensate for that emotional loss.
I'm not saying it replaces their mother, Kate, but financial stability will remove one major source of stress and worry from their lives as they grow up. It's not about compensating for loss.
But what about the psychological impact? Growing up without a mother, possibly feeling guilty about benefiting from her death. Money can't solve those issues. These kids will need ongoing emotional support and therapy to deal with their loss. A trust fund doesn't heal a broken
Interesting
heart.
Points. Now let's consider the broader implications. How might this case impact future crowdfunding efforts? Kate, your thoughts?
I'm concerned this could set unrealistic expectations, Ted. Not every worthy cause will raise $1 million. No matter how heartbreaking the story, it might make people less likely to donate to campaigns that seem less dramatic or haven't gone viral. We could end up in a situation where only the most sensational stories get attention, while equally deserving but less flashy causes get overlooked. It's great for Erica's family, don't get me wrong, but it's not a sustainable model for addressing societal issues.
I see it differently, Kate. I think this could inspire more people to use crowdfunding platforms to help others in need. It shows the incredible generosity people are capable of when they're moved by a story. Sure, not every campaign will raise $1 million, but even smaller amounts can make a huge difference in someone's life. This case might encourage more people to share their stories and seek help, and it could motivate more of us to look for opportunities to support others in our communities.
But it's not sustainable, Eric. We can't rely on viral campaigns to solve every problem. What about those who don't have compelling stories or social media savvy? This creates.
It's not about replacing systematic support, Kate. It's about complementing it. This shows that when traditional systems fail, communities can step up. It's not perfect, but it's.
That's a naive view. It shouldn't be up to random chance whether someone gets help. We need reliable systems, not viral campaigns. What happens to all the people who don't go viral?
But isn't it better to have this option than no option at all? This campaign has changed the lives of Erica's children forever. It's not about replacing social services.
Thank you both for this lively discussion. It's clear that Erica Carr's story has touched many hearts and raised important questions about how we support those in need. While the power of social media to rally support is undeniable, it's also crucial to consider the broader implications for society. As we wrap up, let's remember that behind every viral campaign is a very real human story. Thanks for tuning in to Listen To, and we'll see you next time.